The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
My guest today is Dr. R. Albert Mohler, Jr., and he is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the flagship school of the Southern Baptist Convention. And let me also mention, as of this moment, this day, he is a candidate who has not been challenged so far to become the president of the Southern Baptist Convention later on this year when they meet to deliberate that. He's also on our Salem editorial board, and now a book that's proving to be very, very prophetic. It's called The Gathering Storm. And given where we are at this particular moment moving forward, if you haven't secured your copy of that book, to be able to know how to pray in so many areas that are going to be facing us in our Christian worldview, I recommend that you get that copy. Dr. Mohler, as always, it's good to have you back with us.
And Bill, as always, it's great to be with you. What an amazing just a few hours we've witnessed together.
Absolutely. And when you look at the ups and downs, left and rights of the Christian worldview and Christians as they have approached this presidency, approached all of the issues that are in controversy, now to have this last sort of explanation point of a horrible, horrible, disastrous event at the Capitol, where do Christians begin? Where did you begin? I want to share a little bit about what you shared in the briefing. How do we begin to sort this out?
Well, I think, Bill, one of the first things we do is recognize that an American nightmare happened. You know, we actually saw the storming of the United States Capitol as the United States Congress in joint session was fulfilling its constitutional responsibility. And regardless of whether one was disappointed in the election, and I was disappointed, the reality is that our entire system of ordered liberty and constitutional self-government depends upon respect for our constitutional processes. And the saddest thing to me is that the President of the United States, who swore to uphold the Constitution, actually bears main responsibility for inciting what took place yesterday.
Hmm. You know, as he spoke at the Capitol, and then as the rhetoric of the last few days, on one hand, this is a president that has accomplished more for a Christian worldview and conservatives than meant a whole lot of presidents combined in recent history. But as I have said all throughout several years, I've always been uncomfortable with his, I call it the bedside manner, and personal attacks. And it all seemed to culminate. And though I don't believe in my heart of hearts when he addressed that crowd at the mall, I don't think that he ever intended them to go down and storm the Capitol. But when you look at his words, it's hard to separate him from part of the motivation, true or untrue.
Well, that's true. And I don't think you can draw a one-to-one line. But what you can say is that no president or presidential candidate, winning or losing, had ever, ever in American history called for a public demonstration in Washington, D.C. to protest Congress fulfilling its constitutional responsibility. And you and I both are old enough to have lost many elections, but we've never seen anything like this. It's truly without precedent.
Hmm. So, Dr. Mohler, I wanted to ask you, so where is the line? Christians that we know going back and forth, attacking each other back and forth, what a Christian yeah. should do, what a Christian shouldn't do. Well, where is that line?
Yeah, Bill, that's a really good question. And, you know, my entire life, my entire adult life, for sure, I've identified as not only as a Christian, but as a conservative. And those two things are very tightly linked to me. And but as a conservative, we have to understand that the American respect for liberty is for ordered liberty. Our founders understood that liberty without boundaries, without structures, without principles, without order, devolves into the anarchy that will lead to a dictatorship. And so ordered liberty is exactly what's represented in our constitutional order. And that means that we have to respect our government when it is at work and when Congress is fulfilling its constitutional responsibility. And, you know, just as a conservative, we have to recognize that to be a conservative is to seek to conserve this experiment in self-government. And only we can destroy it. And there's evidence that some among us were practically willing to do just that. I think it's a small minority of Americans. But in any event, we saw it with our own eyes. As a Christian, I have to understand that taking this kind of action, storming the gates of the United States Capitol in the name of a politician, is really incompatible with who we're called to be as Christians. I supported this president. I voted for this president. I stuck my neck out on behalf of this president. But I will not commit treason on behalf of this president.
Well, I certainly can relate to the fact that in the last few months, I too have on this platform, on this air, personal, public life, certainly have been out there as well supporting the president, with the caveat that oftentimes, yes, I felt uncomfortable with his rhetoric. And you know, Dr. Mohler, the last few days going after the governor of Georgia, as well as the Secretary of State, two of which I understand from multiple sources are very walk-the-walk Christians, committed followers of Christ, and to have the public rhetoric that's been flying around, some would say, I'm not prepared to say this, that looking at David Perdue, who got less votes than he did a few weeks ago, that for Georgia voters, that may have had a difference. But for the rest of us, how do we process that we supported an individual who did probably the best for us in terms of the values and the principles that he was able to implement? But on the other hand, we're dealing with this. How do we process this on an individual basis? Because you just stated a question I'm wrestling with as well.
Well, you know, Bill, we have to recognize that someone who holds a constitutional office has to fulfill that responsibility. And when it's someone who we believe holds the right convictions, we expect them to uphold the law and to fulfill that responsibility. The danger sign, and you really indicated this, was when the president basically criticized them. I think you could say attacked them when they were simply doing what the law demands. And, you know, that phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State is going to go down rather shamefully in American history, because the president literally said, what I need is about 12,000 votes. Now, I mean, that sounds like Lyndon Johnson back in the 1940s running for the Senate in Texas. We know how that works. That's not how democracy works.
You're listening to a very distinguished guest this afternoon, and we are just honored to have him with us today. And I'm talking about Dr. R. Albert Mohler, Jr., who is serving as president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he is a very valued member of our editorial board here at Salem. So I know that you deal a lot, Dr. Mohler, with your students and leading the convention in the area of Christian ethics. So,
yeah,
walk us through. There is a time where if, let's say, some foreign entity came to the Capitol and forcibly took over the Capitol, there could be a time where militias or whatever would try to regain that Capitol. But the question is, certainly where we were at, even though we still may find out there was great fraud in this election as the investigation continues, how does this not arise to the same level of example I just gave you? And from a Christian worldview, guide us through a little bit on how you would evaluate that and process that for our or your actions.
Yeah. No, that's a really great question. And it comes down to one that was an obsession of the founders of this country, and that was the legitimacy of government. And so they rightly understood that Romans 13 means that you cannot disrespect, disregard, or try to overthrow a legitimate government. And so the founders established that what legitimacy would require is that the people elect representatives who then represent them. And so the problem is that the members of Congress were elected by the American people. That means, by the way, that as you look at the composition of the Congress that was seated there, that means that there were almost as many Republicans who were there representing the House, and there were actually more Republicans in the room in the United States Senate. And so you'll notice that the people who stormed the Capitol aren't declaring that the government is illegitimate. They can't. They elected that government. But they nonetheless said, we don't like this we don't like this process, and we're going to stop it.
Got about a minute left. I think this is a very important question, because there may be some new Christians, some seekers that are listening. But let's talk about God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is he anywhere less in the middle of his worldview and his plan for us?
No, you know, here's one of the sweet things, and it's just what you see in the Psalms. We woke up this morning, and the sun was shining, and the birds, you know, were singing, and mothers and fathers woke up their children, and God is still on his throne, and he is still showing his grace upon this country. And, I just want to sing the words of that famous patriotic hymn. Let's just pray, God shed his grace on thee, speaking of the United States. And God is on his throne. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we can say that if we're under communist tyranny in North Korea, or if we're in this wonderful, blessed republic of self-government in the United States. God is God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus saves. That's where we find our grounding in life.
Well, I know I wish we had more time, but I know I speak for Dr. Motor to tell you I am so thankful to the Lord that I was able to come to know him as my personal Lord and Savior. And as Amen. I am living in this environment today, I have a great sense of peace. I have a great sense of calm, even though I'm perplexed. But I just thank God for allowing me to be able to know that he's at my side and Dr. Mueller's side. But Dr. Mueller, as always, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. And, of course, you know, for me, absolutely best wishes so that you will become the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Thanks for being with us.
No, thank you, Bill. God bless you and your listeners.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.